I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade.
Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, Tea. From good old Boston, Massachusetts. Well, that statement's kind of a lie for this podcast. In this podcast, I'm bringing in B-Lo. B-Lo and I go way back. We've been friends for a better part of a decade. B-Lo is a lot like me. He's a funny guy, has a lot of opinions. Sometimes he's off the wall, batshit fucking crazy. And every now and then I'm gonna bring him into the show and he's going to be my co-host. So finally, without further ado, the Tea Podcast now has a co-host. That man's name on the podcast is B-Lo, and the two of us, just shooting the shit, we're going to entertain the hell out of you. So, listen to this podcast, to the shenanigans of both T and B-Lo. Thank you. All right, B-Lo, we're recording again.
Are you going to give me a rundown of the rules to speak
nope.
with you?
Just try time? To be as honest, yet as anonymous as possible.
Because last time you gave me a litany of instructions on how to properly speak to you during a recording session, and I was curious to know if the rules were the same or if they were different.
No, they don't change. I'm pretty consistent. I'm pretty routine. You know that. So whatever the rules were last time, they are once again this time.
Good. I think I remember them.
I hope you do.
What?
You don't retain a lot of information sometimes. I get nervous.
I retain a lot of information. I have a lot of information to retain, so there's a difference. It's not a matter of me not retaining the information. I retain the important stuff. So I think that I should get a theme song, too.
Yeah, eventually. We have to get the technology. I like that you're applying chapstick to talk to me. I appreciate that.
My lips are dry. It's cold. And I'm dehydrated.
I'm not going to lie. I put some on, too, right before I started this, and I got my drink right in, too.
I have my drink as well. To stay, so my voice doesn't sound bad. How do I sound with my new microphone stand, putting the microphone close to my face?
Sound good. Actually sounds a little bit more clear this time around. How do I sound now that I'm much sick compared to the last time? I was coming, that cough was starting.
I think you sound great. Yeah, no, I think I need a theme song. I want something by, like, the Bloodhound Gang, like Bad Touch, or, like, you know, We Don't, you know, the Fire Burn song. I think there's some good lines in there that could be the intro for me.
I have the podcast theme song, and then it's me introducing you, the co-host. You're not going to get your own theme song. That's not how it works. The Tonight
no, but
Show, none of them get, the co-hosts never get their own theme song.
I should get my own theme song.
What we got to do is we got to get the sound bites from B-Lo and Borat. Borat going, you can't get this, you can't get this, la, la, la.
La, 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 la. No, but I think you definitely should give me a theme song.
It'll come all in due time. When I get into the new place and I get some time off, I'm going to chop in and get some, you know, more special effects, higher quality, looking at a way to, you know, amp this up a little bit more with that top secret thing we're working on. I'm going to look all into it. Trust me. It'll come with time. For now, let's just get this down. This rapport that we've had so many years for so many people to listen to. See if they understand how fucking silly we are. I did get a lot of good feedback from the first podcast. A lot of people thought we were nuts and pretty entertaining.
Am I muted?
I don't know. You're just not talking.
I am talking. It says, you know, I'm muted, so I don't know. This thing is a little screwy. Now I guess I'm unmuted again.
I can hear you.
All right, good. Well, so, you know, speaking of the feedback, I did get a chance to listen to it. So I think we'll, you know, I'll give you my feedback at a later date, I think.
I had to take out some stuff because of the choppiness. It was tough to edit it back together again. So out of that hour and 15 minutes, I got the solid 45 minutes for us.
No, I think it was good. I think we can, you know, you can always constantly improve. And I do want to look and note that my Snapchat streak with you is now 33 days. We started on December 25th, 2018. It is now February 2nd, 2019. And according to Snapchat, that was 33 days ago. It's a little difficult to understand when there's 31 days in January. We're now on the 2nd of February. We start on December 25th. So my math tells me that it is right. They do 8 days per week and they don't understand how to count. And I did listen to the podcast. I just think it took you a little too long to turn it around because, you know, I know you may be a busy man, but people need to hear me right away.
Soon. No, they will hear you. But I have to chop it up in the days that it goes live. It's Tuesday and Thursday. If I end up doing a third day, which I will end up doing, I'll dedicate that first day to you. Maybe I'll do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
See, and if you're dedicating a day to me, then I should have a theme song when you intro me. You can do your podcast intro, and then you can have an intro or music for me when I speak. I deserve music.
Well, I think when we get there, I think Tuesday will be us talking the co-host show, and Wednesday will be more about a topical one by myself. And Thursday, I'll leave that open and go back to take the T-blog stuff that I written and how I translate it over to the podcast talking through. Like this one, over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to do my trip to Greece. Greece's been on my mind lately with the Lindsay Lohan show, Mykonos, a woman that works for me. She's going there for her 50th. So I'm going to share my Greece story. So I'm thinking that'll be the three steps. And then on Thursdays, eventually, I'll swap that out, the T-blog material, every other week to rotate with other guests, too, because I want to get the Woodwife woman on here. I want to get other people in my life on here. And if we could do a three-way where you could co-host, too, that'd be great. I think we have to figure that out to bring a third person in.
No, we can do – you can do a three-way on here. And I think when you bring somebody else in, I think it would be good because I would like to participate in the conversation.
I do. And I want that.
You know, I had so many things that I was thinking about when you were talking, and now I can't remember them. I have to write them down next time because you keep rambling.
Start taking notes. I got a little pop-up that I usually do when I'm doing my...
No, I have... Well, my notes that while you're talking here, not, like, notes from before, but I do deserve music. So we'll have to work on that intro music so you can slide me in. And then I think we should also, you know, one day you should do this live.
Well, as Max said, and it's always in Philadelphia, anything's possible through God. So you could jot that shit down. Remember that episode when he's talking to the psychiatrist?
That show was hysterical. I haven't watched it in a while. I have to watch it.
Did you watch the last season? Came and went pretty quick.
No, I haven't been watching. I you know, I haven't been watching much television. I've been primarily focusing on watching YouTube videos on how to edit photos because, you know, that's my latest phase is photography. And also, I finished up, what did I finish up on Netflix? And now I just watched Africa because I like those shows. I finished up Poldark since I think we last spoke. And now I'm watching Africa.
Well, I want to watch season two.
No, not yet. I want to watch Io, the movie. I want to watch Sex Education. I still have to watch Fire. Everyone's telling me to watch that. So I think that'll be
the Fire Festival?
Yeah. Yeah, I watch the highlights, and people are sending me YouTube videos, and then so let me watch that, and that could be something for us to talk about. Because last time we did get a chance to speak about Bird Box, but I don't think I have watched anything of note since our last conversation.
Yeah, after you watch it, go back to my Thursday podcast where I did all those TV reviews from the time I was homesick. One of them is my take on the Fyre Festival. So after you watch it, you have obviously your ideas in your head, and then you get to see my take on it. Then we'll do something on the podcast because I really want to get your take on the Fyre Festival. It's pretty interesting.
No, I will definitely watch it, and we can definitely talk about it. I haven't paid attention to anything on it other than, you know, just people telling me that, you know, I should watch it or the like. So that's that. Have you tried diaper wipes?
No, I have not tried the diaper wipes. I am not fully prepared to engage in that test yet to change my whole lifestyle of wiping of the ass.
Prepared to go get diaper wipes.
Here's what I'm thinking. When I move into the new place, I have two bathrooms, right? I'm thinking just for shits and giggles, and I'll make this interesting on the podcast, I'll use my main, the larger bathroom with the shower, old school toilet, because that's in my master suite off my bedroom. And then the one that has the toilet and no shower has the wash and dry. I'm going to put wipes in there. And I'm going to rotate for a week to see how that works from my daily shits to see how much I enjoy or hate or see what the problem is between toilet paper, the traditional, more normal method to wipe in the ass, as opposed to the new and improved, some might say millennial movement, even though you're not a millennial, but a lot of people are doing of the baby wipes. So I will try both. And I will set up both bathrooms accordingly, and I think it'll be an interesting little social experiment.
Normal is defined by society, so I don't know where your coming up with calling it the traditional normal method of wiping your ass, because a lot of people do use diaper wipes. I bet you that more people use diaper wipes than not.
Hey, well, no, it's ironic with you know, our age in our 40s, right? How did our parents wipe our asses as babies? They didn't have baby wipes when we were kids. They used what? Toilet paper, I'm assuming, right?
I thought diaper wipes were in existence when I was a youngster.
I don't know. We had to look into it. I was thinking about that the other day, because it'd be like the circle of life. Because you won't be wrong. I was thinking about that to, you know, support the Belo side of the argument. If that was correct, if they were around when we were kids and that's what our parents used, you're kind of just going back to it. So you actually start off getting your ass wiped by baby wipes, and then you go to toilet paper as a man in your own bathroom, and you don't have baby wipes in your home. To obviously, you had more because, you know, you're a dad. Me, I would never have them in my home. But to actually come back full circle as a grown man to wiping your ass with baby wipes, that'd be interesting. So I don't know.
Well,
you
go full circle in life anyway. You start off, you know, unable to walk and talk, and you end up unable to walk and talk. And as we were speaking, you know, you like to do this, like look into it later. I'd like to believe in looking into this stuff now, because they have this thing called like Google and on cell phones. Right. Yeah, I didn't want to use my computer because you'll complain. But it looks like diaper wipes were invented in the 1950s. Therefore, your mom probably wiped your ass with a diaper wipe, and you stepped away from the traditional way, and now you should go back to it anyway.
As you know, I'm not putting that rule on you. One of my rules as the host of my podcast is I don't like to do live searches as I record. I like to do it off the cuff. So whether I babble or I'm correct, I'm right or wrong, I kind of just do it on the fly. So I kind of use my memory and my life choices to put the information out there. You, as the co-host, have every right to bust open your phone and Google. So I like that you searched that fact. And now we both know that odds are our asses were wiped with baby wipes back when we were babies. So you're halfway there. You may be persuading me. And like I said, I'll try that social test when I get into the new place. And I think it'll be pretty funny going from bathroom to bathroom to see what works the best.
I think what you should do is you should put them all in the same bathroom that you let your guests use and see what they use. See what they gravitate to. See if somebody will take the diaper wipes or somebody will take the toilet paper. Like, do your own little private anonymous test. No one shits in my house anyway, but no, you go outside. There's no, I have the half bath that, you know, it gets rarely used when someone's here, and there's a big argument about using it. So, Yeah,
I think that'll be what I'll do in my place. Obviously, I'm not going to allow people into my bedroom to use the master bathroom. So the half bath, that's going to be Tigger's bathroom. That's where his litter box is going to be. That's where my wash and dry is going to be. I think I will give people the choice to either use toilet paper or baby wipes when they come over to visit. So when I have the party, Marathon Monday, because I'll be in the place for a couple weeks at that point, I will supply both baby wipes and toilet paper in there. But obviously, I will not encourage people to go to the bathroom in my place, but I will give them that option if they need to go. Preferably, they don't, because I really would have an issue with someone coming to my house at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, having to shit. And just like you, I don't want people shitting in my home, whether or not it's a second bathroom or not. I just don't want that. But I will give them that option.
Yeah, and then you'd leave the Clorox wipes in there, too, so you can wipe the bathroom down after they use leave, because that's exactly what I do. I wipe the bathroom down every time with the Clorox wipes. The Clorox wipe is, like, legit. I actually went out and stocked up on Clorox wipes. I have literally probably, you know, 9, you know how they come in those little plastic bottle-type things or plastic containers? Yeah. I probably have, like, 9 or 10 of them in my closet, and I have one in each bathroom, one in the kitchen, one in the bedroom, one in my office here, so... Anyway,
I think it would be hilarious, though, if people drunk at my place accidentally grab the Clorox wipes to wipe their asses. Like we were talking about that last time. You can't use that to wipe your ass, to see what happens. So,
yeah,
we'll see. So, what hat is that on? You showed it to me a couple times this week. That is not obviously this year because they didn't win yet. But what is that from?
It's the last time they won the Super Bowl. And so I vowed, you know, I wear a hat every day, all day. It's rare that I don't wear a hat. I mean, I wear like a baseball hat, or I wear a Scally cap or a newsboy hat or something like that. But I decided to wear the Patriots. By the order of the Peaky Blinders, that's the best show ever made.
And by the order of the Peaky fucking Blinders.
I cannot wait for the next season to come out, because that show.
Why don't we all wear Scally caps? We'll grab our third friend. We will name him until he's on the show. We'll all bust out our Scally caps and we'll all put
raises on the tips, and we'll wear the marathon Monday in case we get into something.
That actually is not true, by the way. Because I did actually look that up with the whole Peaky Blinders with the razors and the hats and, you know, the whole notion of that. And it's some interesting articles on the Peaky Blinders and the razors and the hats and how it wouldn't work, how it's not really feasible to do it. I mean, I guess you could do it, but for it to work effectively without, you know, slicing yourself up and the weights and stuff, it doesn't work. So yes, no, I can't wait for that to come out. That is, like I said, I think that is the best show. You know, and who was good in it too was I think that Tom Hardy. I really like Tom Hardy.
I do too.
I mean, I that's like one of my. I have two man crushes, and Tom Hardy's one of them. I think he did a great job, and his role in that was excellent. I did watch Venom recently. I didn't like his role in Venom, but I liked it because it was a Tom Hardy movie. But his role in Peaky Blinders was great. Unfortunately, you know, we'll see what happens in the next season. I don't want to give anything away, but we'll see in next season what happens with his character.
Yeah, I mean, the way, and again, if anything, for anyone, the way they left off with his character, it'd be interesting to see his appearance in season 5. I also, I want real quick on Tom Hardy. Did you ever see Warrior? Did we ever talk about that? That MMA movie that he was in with Joel Edgerton as his brother?
No, we have not.
You have to.
I'll watch it. I don't know if I watched it, but I'll have to watch
it. It came out the year of The Fighter, so it kind of got like pushed aside because The Fighter obviously got all that push for Wahlberg.
I did watch The Warrior and not The Fighter. I have to look. I mean, if I start watching, I remember. But to go back to this, yes, it's the Super Bowl hat because, you know, I've actually never been really excited about the Super Bowl. And, you know, with the game being tomorrow, and I'm actually a little bit more excited than usual, I decided to wear the hat. And so what's your prediction for the score?
A Patriots Super Bowl hat. So my prediction, well, let's talk about a little bit about what we're looking at, right? So, you know me, I'm a diehard. So my man crushes, if you will, obviously one of them has always been Tom Brady, if we're going to talk about Tom Hardy.
I cannot wait until he's gone.
I know. I don't know why you're so hung up on that. I mean,
I could not stand Brady back when even like Zolak was the backup quarterback. I was the one always screaming to bring in Zolak because I wanted him gone then. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I don't want to get into this whole thing. Oh, he sucks and this and that. I think it's just too much. For some reason, I just don't like him. I mean, yes, he's a great guy. He's a nice guy, but I just can't wait for him to be out of New England.
So your personal preference of him as an individual, as a quarterback on the field, are you one of those people besides the, you know, obviously in Boston, New England, there's a minority, but some people here who don't think he's the greatest of all time, you would say that you're one of them, that you don't think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time?
No. I'm not saying that his stats, and I'm not saying that he's not good. He is a goofy running motherfucker, though.
He doesn't have to run, though. You know, that's not his job.
But a lot of things with that, and a lot of people don't realize, I pay attention to things a little bit differently. It's a team sport.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is good because the offensive line, you know, if the offensive line slips and people start getting in and giving him pressure and throwing him around and knocking him on the ground, he's going to suck. I don't care who you are, how good you are, what shape you're in. You get tossed around on the cold asphalt or the cold clay and you're going to suck. You're going to get hurt. You're going to be hobbling. You're going to be anxious. So football is one of those sports where it's a 100% team sport. I mean, you know, baseball or something, baseball can be, you know, almost an individual game because you are working individually at a given time, whether you're batting or fielding. But football is 100% a team sport because you are relying on somebody else for your success.
My take on that is this. Obviously, a couple things that you hit on. I agree that I agree with you on that one. But I agree that any quarterback that's getting put on his ass the entire time, he is not going to contribute much to the team. And Tom Brady is one of those people. And again, you know, the whole league changed with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. When they were getting touched, especially when Tom Brady had that ACL tear that time, they changed that. That whole roughing the passer, the concussion protocol, that all came into play because they wanted to protect Peyton Manning and Tom Brady because they were the faces of the NFL. But for me, I think that every sport, and there's certain positions that are crucial to the team. Team sport, yes, but in football, you live and die by your quarterback. There's no doubt about it. If you don't have a good quarterback, you're not putting up points. You may have a great defense to limit the other team's points, but you need a great quarterback. Baseball, you live and die by your starting pitching. If you don't have one or two aces on your team, you're not going to put enough numbers in your division to win the divisional round, to win your division and go on to playoffs. So you live and die by your first couple of pitches, your aces. And hockey. Hockey is live and die by your goalie. If you don't have a decent goalie, doesn't matter how many points you're able to put up. If your goalie's letting up a lot of points, that's a problem. The only true sport that I see, and even though you got people like LeBron and the NBA isn't what it used to be, is basketball. There isn't one position that sets aside. You can't say that a point guard is a game changer. You can't say that a great center is a game changer. Maybe like a Shaq back in the day, sure. But to me, basketball is the only true team sport. I think there are certain positions in the other three major sports that if you don't have a key person in that, your team isn't going anywhere. Or when they go up against a better team, they're going to get bested. So I think that you live and die by your quarterback, you live and die by your goalie, and you live and die by your ace.
Well, your quarterback does have – I mean, I think everybody has to be good. I think it is important for your quarterback to be accurate. I think it's important for your quarterback to be able to do a lot of things, right? Play calling on the field. However, a quarterback cannot be good if his offensive line sucks. Because you can even see it when Brady, when people get through, he gets jittery and nervous.
And you watch his 3 seconds to throw. If they're rushing him or they're touching him, you're right. It's a different Tom Brady.
So what? That's all I'm saying is I'm not saying you don't need a good quarterback. You need everybody to be good. However, the best quarterback in the world, you take Tom Brady and you put him on another team that has a shitty offensive line, and he'll suck because he will not have the time to throw. He will not have the time to pass or play call or anything. So forget it. In basketball, I'm not going to get into basketball. I'm kind of turned off by sports. Lacrosse and soccer.
Let me put this scenario on you that I do all the Tom Brady haters, especially my friends in L.A., New York.
I'm not a Brady hater.
I know, I get it, but you just know you know. But let me just do the whole GOAT scenario, right? We want to talk about the greatest football player, the greatest quarterback of all time. Take Tom Brady's name out of it. If I was talking to you today and I said there is a 41-year-old quarterback playing the game who has all types of numbers, had that season that they almost went undefeated besides the Super Bowl, where they broke all kinds of points that year, all kinds of touchdowns. And this individual also has played with one team for 18 seasons, and no player has gone to the Super Bowl at 41. Odds are he's going to win. And let's just say this person does win. He's gone to the Super Bowl nine times with the same team, and he's won. Let's just say he wins tomorrow. So on Brady's side, this person has won 6 Super Bowls. There is no way Tom Brady's name out of
this. He has not won 6 Super Bowls. This is where I disagree with everybody. Tom Brady did not win 6 Super Bowls. Tom Brady did not go to – he did physically go to 9 Super Bowls. He was on a winning team 6 times.
Taking the snaps, he was managing the game. He was that quarterback. That's what you said. That's what you should be.
There's nobody on – yes. But again, it's the rest of the team needs to be on point as well. So it's the entire team. And it's not that I hate Tom Brady. I think it's time for Tom Brady to go because the team needs new blood because Tom Brady is getting older. You need somebody else to come in behind him. I mean, you can't have everybody all go at once. I mean, so many people will be leaving this year. You know, sadly, Hogan will probably be gone.
Hogan will go. Gronk's going to retire, which we both want him gone. But I mean,
Gronk is big. Gronk, you know, if you look at his stats on paper, he does look pretty good. But, you know, how many years has he been not, you know, how many seasons has he played the full season? How many seasons has he?
Healthy season out of him. We got one full healthy season.
Yeah.
In this season, he's played, but he's not playing like himself. So obviously he's not healthy.
Yeah, so that I think they're playing him, and again, he has size, so he's a distraction. I mean, he's good for blocking, and if he does get the ball, it takes, you know, a mountain of men to – not a mountain of men, but a team of men to take him away. But
it did. This season, though, he got tackled by one guy a lot when he actually got open, or he had a drop pass, and he couldn't break away. Like, he would cut down off the side into the middle, get that ball, and he'll shake, like, 2 to 3 defenders, and he would go a long distance, maybe touchdown. This season, that was not happening. He could not get free. It was one-on-one man coverage. When he got the ball, the few times that he did, one man was taking him down. So he's definitely not the same Gronk. Yeah, obviously they adjust like most people do on the Patriots. he's actually blocking and allowing running backs to make moves, which we've never seen before. We actually have a running game now, not just because of Sony Michel is phenomenal, but because of Gronk. He's actually just manhandling guys out of the way and allowing people to run, where that speaks levels of him. He's a big fucking doofus. I agree.
But that's what a tight end needs to do. I mean, you need a tight end who can get in there and run block on the yep. outside.
He's adapting. He's changing the way he plays. Will he do that enough to come back one more year? I don't think so. I think at 29, his body has received so much damage, so many operations. I think win or lose tomorrow, I think this is the last year for Gronk. And I think, and I talked about this on the podcast and probably with you too, I think two more years. I think Brady has one more year in his contract. Maybe they extend it one more after that. I think he and Belichick will end up leaving together. I think Belichick will coach one more team, possibly the Giants. I think Brady will retire. And I think Josh McDaniels, the reason why he pulled the U-turn and came back to Boston, to New England, instead of going to Indy that time, is because he was promised to become the head coach of this team. So I think that's what the future is. I think that somehow, some way, obviously the next two drafts, they got to draft some quarterbacks or maybe put a package together to get somebody. I have no problem with them going after like somebody like Foles. I do think that they need to stop building a team around a different quarterback, but I think that happens next year. I think Brady needs to be able to swallow his pride, which is going to be tough for him to do, because if he's coming back for two more years, that son of a bitch is going to think he's going to go back to the Super Bowl, and he may very well do that. But if you spend the whole season with the same formula behind Tom Brady, you're never going to mold another quarterback, and there's no future if you do that. So I agree that I almost at one point thought that Tom Brady should have retired too, but it's tough to argue with that yet again he's back in the Super Bowl.
Well, I think he needs to retire and go out on a high note. I don't think he needs to, you know, win the Super Bowl, continue to play, and just, you can't outrun, I don't care how well you eat, how well you take care of yourself. You can prolong things a little bit, but you can't outrun age. Your muscles.
Father time will catch up to you every single time.
Yeah. You know, the way your muscles work, the way you recover. I mean, look at me. I go and have a couple of drinks and it takes me 3 days to recover, you know, because I'm an old dude now. I'm pushing 65. So.
You're not that old, but I mean, I'm not too far behind you, and I feel it too. I get a fucking, this year I dealt with obviously everything I was going through, but heart palpitations, anxiety, fucking migraines. I'm on meds now. I'm like, I never had to be that way. And you know me, I'm at the gym 6-7 days. I eat clean. I got fucking meal prep. But yeah, it's age just starts changing your body. You can't do anything about that. With that said, I'm thinking problem is win or lose tomorrow. Tom Brady, that's his 9th Super Bowl. He probably has it in his head. That round number, wouldn't it be nice to go to 10 Super Bowls? So I don't know if he's willing to do transition over the next 2 years. So it'll be interesting to see what this Patriots team does. And obviously, Belichick had something in mind with Jimmy, but it looks like Brady went to Kraft that time and said, get rid of Jimmy. So I don't know if they're going to be able to do a transition to a new quarterback in over the next 2 years with Brady still here.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Garoppolo stay in New England, but... You know, it is what it is at this point in his career. So
I think tomorrow, and I'll ask you your prediction first. I'm predicting before I give my score. I'm thinking the Patriots, since that Jets game, they've found a way to have that running game. I think they found a place for Gronk to block for the running game. I think that offensive line, we're just talking about protecting Brady. Brady has not been touched in those last three games. Maybe has like one or two sacks. I think Brady's very confident going in. I think that whole, and you know, we talked about this, that whole doubting them, saying Tom Brady was too old, saying that Edelman wasn't the same, that he's off whatever he was on, the juice, Gronk doesn't have it anymore. Belichick, you pissed off the Patriots. And even at this day and age, with a pissed off Patriots team, they're playing pissed off. They found that protection on Brady. They have that running game, and they proved it. I thought the challenge was going to be, you know, getting through after they got by the Chargers, I thought they would lose that Kansas City game, but they kept on going. And I think they had the momentum swing.
I did not think they were going to get past their first game. I mean, I knew the bye was going to be, you know, their bye, but I did not think they were going to get past the first game. I do not think that the Rams have a chance. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I do not think the Rams can keep up with the Pats. I think that the Pats will take. I do think it will be a close game. I think it will be a good game. I do not think it's going to be lopsided. I think it will be a well-played game, and I think I'm kind of excited about it. I will give you 34-28.
That's close. That's close to what I was thinking. I'm thinking, I agree with everything you just said. I don't think the Rams are going to be able to hang. I think Goff is going to be intimidated in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady. I don't think they're going to put up a lot of points. Gurley is something they have to keep an eye on as far as the running game goes. But I think the Pats will keep a large, you know, lead over them, anywhere from 10 to 14 points in that first half. I think a lot like the KC game, they'll adapt a little bit and add some more points to on the back end, the Rams. But I think it'll be 34-24 Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
That's all right. We're close. I 34-24. It's a bigger game, so we'll see. Well, we'll have to see when that goes out. Should we record a couple different scores so that you can edit them after the game and make it look like we predicted it properly? And then we'll even do one where we think the Pats lose and we both call it.
That's the pros and cons of doing this now. Like, you know, it's not going to go up till Tuesday at the earliest, then the Super Bowl will already be set. But I was thinking that too. Copy, like, you know what? 17-14, 22-35, all random scores, and one of them will be close and we'll be right.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be okay. So that's that.
I mean, we're Boston guys, but we're also very logical. And I don't think we're, you know, we're biased. I don't think neither one of us ever gets swayed. And there's one thing about the two of us that's the same. We're pretty factual and we're pretty honest. And again, we both thought, you know, you thought they were going to lose that first game. I thought they were going to lose the Kansas City game. But I think now we both feel pretty confident. And Boston, bias aside, I think it's logical that the Pats are going to win tomorrow. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I'll have to get a new hat. Somebody can send me a new hat.
I got to probably – I'll get a new Super Bowl hat because I got the Red Sox one that time. And, you know, obviously I was on the news, but they didn't show my video, my interview that time, which is hilarious.
You weren't on the news then. You were.
Well, he filmed me.
You are so funny. You were just, I was on the news, but they didn't show it. But
I was in the background. I got the video of the other guy, so I did show up on the news. And luckily, I was doing the T-blog pose, so my handsome face was covered. But my full-blown fucking interview at that time, Channel 7, that guy took fucking 10 minutes of my time. I should have told him to go fuck himself. And I gave the interview, and all you could see me is doing the pose in the background, taking that little T-blog pose selfie.
You were hidden in the shadows by the dumpster. You should take that picture and post it on your T-blog, T-kitty. You need to. I like T-kitty.
T-kitty. I should change ticket to T-kitty. I'll put it on the story, the still of me in the background that I took off the TV that time. I'll put it on my T-podcast and T-blog story.
I think you should, because, and then let everybody, you know, see you. Don't edit it, because when you sent the picture, you know, you were lost in the shadows and you had to, like, circle yourself in red so that other people.
That's like when we do it. Without giving anything away, because this is a little too anonymous. Did you like the snap that I sent you last night, circled in red? Did you find that funny?
You know, I thought it was funny, but I also didn't know if it was real or not. Meaning, I don't know if I had dreamt you sending that to me or not. I had a rough night, and
I could tell.
No, I had a very rough night. We were actually talking about that today. I did find a new sushi place. Sushi is my favorite.
Yeah, you kept on telling me. So, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the podcast, Bilo and I were going to record last night. Again, you heard this the last time around. Bilo and I, whether it's work or life or commitments, you know, it's tough to get the two of us together to actually sit down and do this for an hour or so. So that's why we snap a lot. We text a lot. That's how we stay in touch. But we didn't get to record last night because Bilo went out for a little bit. He found the world's greatest sushi restaurant, according to the drunk text he was sending me, the drunk snaps.
I don't know if that's the world's greatest, but it's up there. It is the best. It is one of the best.
And he was sending pictures of his drinks. And obviously, as we're snapping, I found something that, you know, we'll keep a little more to ourselves that was funny. And I shared it with him on Snapchat. And I know it really wasn't a dream. It was real. It was something I found very funny. And I had to share with you. And I was hoping it wouldn't get lost in the drunken madness of what you were doing last night. So Bilo's a little bit hungover today, but he's actually a trooper and he's not too cranky like I thought he would be. And he's, you know,
I was very cranky earlier. I did get up and make it to the gym. It was really rough at the gym. I ran like a half a mile and I thought I was going to die, but I did pull off running a half a mile, walking half a mile, walking a little bit. So I got some time in and I got a quick shoulder workout in. So then I thought I was going to die afterwards. And the other person,
I didn't think about recording last night. I just didn't think that this right here, what we have, where we're, you know, how we get the show going just to get prepared. And then this dialogue, I don't think it would work with one of us being drunk and one being sober. And I thought about doing it, be very entertaining, but I don't think I would have got much out of you.
I cannot stand drunk people. I'm one of those people. Exactly. Like, I cannot be around a drunk person sober, or I will be very miserable. I can't stand the repetitiveness. I can't stand the lack of logic. I can't stand the lack of focus, because I'm a very logical, and I am very focused, believe it or not. I do have my attention shifts. It seems like I don't have focus, but I do have focus. It's just my mind goes rather quick, and I can actually go through a conversation in my head by myself, and I'm on to the next topic.
Well, so, see, that's what I was making that decision last night. As I thought about it, because I was home, I had nothing to do, was ready to record. As you just hit it on the head right there, I was already seeing the signs of you being drunk. When you start repeating yourself, especially with typos, over and over again with your rapid fucking text, I was like, and you kept on telling me how much you were already drunk, and then you kept on telling me how that was the best sushi place, your favorite sushi place. I'm like, there's no way I can reel him in to sit down and actually conduct the podcast if he's already texting and snapping me like this. So I was like, ah, fuck it. But we will do it. It'll be fun for everyone. You and I both drinking when we do a recording one day, and I think that'll be fucking hilarious with you and I drunk trying to get through a podcast. I'll probably edit this.
I think that'll be a good one. Yeah, the sushi place was good last night, and it's a nice little like home touch. Sat at the sushi bar, talked to the guy, and I'll definitely go there again just because of the proximity of where I am. It's within walking distance. So, but I it's tough. You know, I still have loyalty to, you know, Sagar at Gillette Stadium. Have my sushi Sundays, and I don't have them as often anymore because I'm not as close, but I still go down there regularly. And then also I started going to Ichigo Ichi in Franklin,
which isn't that far. You know me, it takes
a
while to get out of the city.
Yeah, well, Sagar is great because they have half-price sushi on Sundays and Mondays, unless there's a game. And then you get to go to the capital of the world while you're there. I mean, I really like going down to the Gillette area. But so, and then I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about, well, if you're not, I mean, Sagar's excellent, but Ichigo Ichi is also at another level. Not the one, they have one in East Providence, which I've gone to. I'm not a big fan of that one. It's kind of, I mean, it's good, but it's not as good as the one, I think, in Franklin. But if you're not going for the half price at Sagar, then switch it up and go to the Ichigo Ichi. So that's my little...
My sushi thing was Haru back in the day until they closed it down. I loved Haru. But now, obviously, I go to Dozo in Back Bay and their sister restaurant, Basho, over here in Fenway. But Hojoko, I think I've told you about that too. It's American-Asian fusion mix where they took the Big Mac and they turn it into like a gourmet burger. It's Julian Edelman's favorite burger. I love the burger. But on top of that, they have a ton of sushi rolls too. And we go there one night and they got like sake bombs and fucking, you get hammered. So they got a good assortment of mixed drinks on top of some sushi rolls and just Americanized gourmet style approach. But we'll go to Hojoko too. But so everybody has their own sushi approach. What is your sushi approach? And by that, I mean, do you get it in bulk? Like, I know a lot of people, depending on their mood, I'm not talking about being with, you know, friends or on a date. If you had to sit down and get sushi, some people know their rolls off the menu or they have to read the menu. They go to their traditional go-to rolls. Like me, it's always crunchy spicy salmon, Philadelphia roll, and spicy tuna. Those are my three go-to, and then I'll get a specialty roll, dragon roll here and there. And I'll get that all at once. If it's just me eating sushi, sometimes when you're with a group on a date, you kind of like piece it. Oh, we'll just get more. Let's try this roll next. You keep the menu with you and you approach it. Or if you're banged up with your buddies back in the day, we used to go to the clubs, or anytime with your friends, if you're going on a group, you get the boat, anywhere from 30 to 80 pieces of sushi. What is your sushi approach? How do you order it when you get it, whether you're
alone, a
group of friends?
The love boat. I load up on sushi. Sushi I could eat until it's gone. Doesn't matter how much I order or how many rolls I order. But I load up on it. And I do get, I don't like any of the cream cheese rolls. I mean, every place has their own specialty rolls, by the way. So, you know, I mean, some of them are similar, but every place will have their own different name specialty rolls. Typically, I'll go and get some of the traditional rolls along with specialty rolls and load it up. And then if I go to Saga, usually I think I get like 7 rolls. I'll get 2 specialty rolls and then 5 traditional rolls. And then that's it. I like that. And sometimes I'll start off with miso soup or edamame. I love edamame.
I like spicy edamame. Usually they take it, I don't know if you've had it, but they put oil and the red pepper on it, so they make it spicy. It's pretty good.
Now I'm getting hungry. See, now you're making...
We've got to go to Hojoko because they have wasabi roulette. I don't know if I ever told you about it, but I've been there a bunch of times and we went...
I don't like wasabi. I love ginger. I eat the hell out of ginger. I always get extra ginger. I don't eat wasabi.
But this is why this would be great for people that don't like wasabi. It's wasabi roulette, so it's exactly what you think it is, where they take the six rolls, they cut up one roll, they take the six pieces, and they put a giant ball of wasabi in one of them. And in the middle, they get a little baby bottle of like soy milk in case you get the wasabi roll to stop your you know, the burning. So we did it for to start a bachelor party for my cousin one night last two summers ago. And my cousin ended up getting the roll. And immediately, you know, because he just started turning red and fucking sweat. But it's a giant ball. And he didn't even go for the milk. He ended up just doing more shots and more alcohol. But we should get the group together and do a wasabi roulette some night. Whoever gets it, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. No, I'll do that. I mean, I don't mind some of the rolls that have, you know, a little bit of wasabi in them. I mean, some rolls do. They put a very little bit of it because I do like spicy food. So, you know, just not to say that I don't like mix it in my soy sauce, whatever. So that's that.
Now, do you chew the ginger for your palate? Like a lot of people that been to Asia, I haven't been there yet. You know me, I've been all over Europe. But people who think they know all about sushi have a preference, and they'll pause you and they'll say, you always get that wise ass, that one person that'll say, you know, the ginger is for your palate. You're supposed to eat the ginger to bring out, you know, the ability to savor the flavors as you put the sushi in your mouth. Me, I'm American. Look at me. You, I don't know how you do it, but I take the ginger and the wasabi, put it in the fucking low-sodium soy, mix it all up, and I dunk that son of a bitch roll in there, and I eat it. I don't chew on the ginger by itself to bring out my palate.
I eat the ginger by itself because I like it. I know, okay. I mean, I've actually talked to some people, and they say that the ginger is supposed to help your stomach with ensure that you don't get sick. I know it's the palate thing, but the ginger is supposed to have something so that if there's any parasites in your fish, you're not supposed to get ill. But I looked that up before too. I look everything up.
I know you do.
Make sure. And I try to make sure I read. You know, I'm one of those. I like to educate myself on something versus just hearing the 30-second clip and basing a decision on that, or reading one particular article, unless it's someone who I know is 100% credible.
All right. I hope you like that podcast with myself and B-Lo shooting the shit. Soon enough, we'll have places to find B-Lo on social media. In the meantime, where to find me? On Instagram. TheTPodcast, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff. And TBlog, TBLAWG, all one word for some amazing picks. I'm also on Twitter, TBlog, all one word. You can email me. You have some questions for myself and B-Lo that you liked about the show, that you didn't like, why we're so fucking crazy, things you want us to talk about. Email me and we'll get to it. Next time I have B-Lo on the show, we'll talk about it. So you can email me at t@t-blog.com. You can message me on the Facebook page, follow TBlog. And of course, here on iTunes and the place that started it all, tblog.com, every Tuesday and Thursday. So I'll be interested to hear what you have to say about my conversations with B-Lo as we talk about different topics throughout, and definitely reach out to us and we'll be on here. So as you know, we close this out. Until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, 'cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.